Okay, Chair, you're on the record.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'll call to order the Intertie Management Committee for May 1st. It's 8:59 a.m. and we'll start with item one, or I guess we'll go to item two, roll call.
Okay, yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Bill Price here.
Chugach Electric Association?
Mike Miller here.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Dan Bishop here.
Matanuska Electric Association?
John Sinclair here.
Okay, well, next. Oh. Do you want to go to public roll call?
Yes.
I just jumped right on top of you. I apologize. So yes. We'll go to our attorney.
Jonathan Green with the law firm of Guess and Rudd.
Okay, and then next we can go to the folks on the Teams meeting. If you'd like to identify yourself, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Robert Varga, Alaska Energy Authority.
Okay, I got Robert Varga, Alaska Energy Authority.
Nathan Minima, Golden Valley.
Kim Hinkle, MEA.
I think that, is that David Pease on the phone number?
That's right. David Pease.
Thank you. Okay, and next we'll go to the folks in the room.
Mark Ziesmer, AEA.
Pam Ellis, AEA.
Mark Billings, the Alaska Energy Authority.
Jim Mendenhall, Alaska Energy Authority.
Okay, Chair, that's everybody.
Thank you. We will move to item four, and that's approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion for approval of the agenda?
Bill Price, so moved.
Mike Miller, Chugach Electric, second.
Do we have any objections to the agenda as written? Hearing none, agenda is approved. We'll jump down to item five, public comments.
Okay.
Quick question. Do we need to do a roll call because he's on?
We actually do a roll call because Dan's on the.
Good.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bishop is on the Teams meeting. So. Okay, so we'll do a roll call for the approval of the agenda. Alaska Energy Authority?
Bill Price, yes.
Chugach Electric Association.
Mike Miller, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Dan Bishop, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association.
John Sinclair, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
All right, now we'll move to item five, public comment.
Okay, is there anybody in the room that would like to make a public comment? No. Is there anybody on the Teams meeting that would like to make a public comment? Please raise your hand. Okay, no public comment on the Teams meeting. If there's anybody on the phone that would like to make a public comment, please press star 9 and you'll be recognized. Okay, no public comments, Chair.
Thank you. We will jump to item six then, which is approval of the meeting minutes from March 20th, 2026. And we'll start with a motion.
Bill Price, so moved.
Mike Miller, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. I'll give everyone a little bit to review those. And if there is any comments, let me know.
Yes, this is Dan Bishop of Golden Valley on page four of the packet under 9C. In the middle of the page, it says, Mr. Bishop believes that some of the Healy 2 trips are related to difficulties with pole quality. I perhaps didn't speak clearly enough, and it should say coal quality.
I see that.
Okay. I don't see it. Okay. So in the middle of the page, 9C, oh, it's, what is it?
Coal.
Coal. It is coal, but it should be coal quality.
Coal, like C-O-A-L.
Yeah.
C-O-A-L. You got it. Okay.
Thanks.
We'll make that correction.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Any other comments? All right, hearing none, can we do a roll call vote?
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Bill Price, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Mike Miller, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Dan Bishop, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
John Sinclair, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. All right, moving right along to old business. I don't see anything on the agenda for old business, so we will move on to new business. And item A under that is the 2027 budget. And to start it, I will take a motion for approval of the budget.
Mr. Chair, I move the Alaska Intertie Management Committee approve the fiscal year 2027 preliminary operating budget to be posted for 30 days for public comment as presented. Comments are due to the IMC and AEA by 5 p.m. June 1, 2026.
Can I get a second?
Mike Miller, just a quick question. So if we were going to discuss it, would that be after motion this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Mike Miller, second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. So now I'll open the floor for discussion.
Yeah, this is Dan Bishop with Golden Valley. So we have a pretty substantial budget with a resulting in a fairly high wheeling charge. So it would be great to run through some of the larger items on here and just discuss some of the details.
Did you have any specific item you wanted to cover, Dan?
Well, there's the GE contract, for example, a proposed GE SVC maintenance contract. SVC support services contract.
Sure. If you want, I can.
There's kind of clearing. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Dan. I thought I just missed. I interrupted you rudely, but I could walk through the budget if you guys would like, and then we can talk about items as they go, or we can go blind up questions. It's whichever you prefer.
How about if it's okay with you, Mr. Bishop, if we could go and have Mr. Price go through it at a high level, and then we can discuss individual items. I, too, have some questions, and I'm guessing Mr. Miller has some questions, too. So, but if that works for everybody, go ahead, Mr. Price.
Yes, that would be great. Thanks.
So this is Bill Price with AEA. I'm going to just kind of go down from the top. Is there any – and just basically ask questions. From a revenue standpoint, it appears as though our proposed revenues are at least in line or with past. Is there any comments, questions, concerns with the revenue side of the budget? Let me put that to bed. I'm not expecting any. On the expenses side, relative to O&M, it looks like we're actually in line with what we traditionally spend. We usually overshoot this number and end up with a higher number and end up not quite meeting our goals for the year. But for this year, we're proposing $2.7 million in O&M. And if you look at the 23, 24, and 25 numbers, we're usually in the 2.3 to 2.4. So we're in line on the O&M side. Is there any specific item that the utilities would like to discuss in open session relative to a specific O&M item before we dive into the fun part of the administration portion of the budget?
Yes, Mr. Price, are you saying, just to clarify, to make sure I understand you correctly, are you saying that our budgeted amount is consistent with our actual previous years? or
I'm saying the expenses, the expenses portion of the budget, which is right. just the O&M portion, which is the work you guys are doing, is in, I'm saying it's in line with what we've traditionally or what we've historically actually spent.
Okay, thank you. That's an excellent point.
So I'm not for or against. I'm just, that's an interesting point I noted when I was reviewing the budget is we're not far off of what we usually actually spend in O&M expenses. Where the budget goes awry is in the administration, or not awry is not the better word, is where we have new expenses is in the administration portion of the budget. But before I dive into that, is there any questions on the expenses side, O&M?
Mike Miller, so I just wanted to offer that I followed up internally at Shugash with regards to the $350,000 we'd put in for breaker 538 replacement. I think it's acceptable on our end to reduce that to $250,000.
Okay.
And I also wanted to discuss the $30,000 that was put in for the remote sensing for Golden Valley Northern right-of-way clearing.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe, if I remember correctly, that was something that kind of came up when the IOC was discussing the budget as a placeholder for potentially establishing some kind of pilot for drone patrol for clearing purposes. And I guess my suggestion or request to consider would be perhaps rather than budgeting that $30,000 as a placeholder that we suggest that it be taken out of the budget and it can be introduced as an amendment if they get to a point where they are prepared to actually do that pilot program. Understanding that all the utilities are looking to, you know, reduce the budget reasonably as much as we can so that we're not starting out with high charges for wheeling and usage and things like that. That'd be my suggestion, I guess, in general, is maybe some of these things we reduce or remove, and then we can have them be reintroduced as needed throughout the budget year in amendments. Anyway,
this is Stan Bishop with Golden Valley, and thanks, Mr. Miller. I do agree with that idea and support that change. I am interested in hearing about the rationale or if a similar consideration applies to the $60,000 for MEA's remote sensing and analysis, or is that further along in terms of implementation, a more certain expense?
Yeah, this is John Sinclair, and take that in two parts. First, yeah, I support the general concept that Mr. Miller put forward of if we know the cost, let's put them in, but if it's an estimate, maybe either reduce or remove it until we know the cost and then come back with an amendment, because I think everybody's concerned that this budget's a little bit higher than historical. So I would support removal of that $30,000 if we don't have a hard number for it. And then you can always come back and ask for funds in the future if it materializes. Then the second part of that, Mr. Bishop, your question on where MEA is at, we are pretty far along on our vegetation management. Not just for this line, but in general. So, that $60,000, basically we do have, a team. Actually, we have a drone team that, is doing work. And so we would spend up to that with that team. And the idea, there's multiple levels that we've discussed with vegetation management, but part of that is the, drone observation, and you routinely do that. We're working towards a 3-year cycle with the rest of our system, and we're trying to incorporate this and that. So the team would just spend up to that $60,000. So we can definitely meet that target. It's part of the vegetation management plan that we've implemented for MEA. And it measures the growth, right? That's the intent. We measure the growth and get a feel for the growth and the appropriate clearing duration. So some areas need clearing every 7 years. Some might grow a little faster, say in 3 years. And this gives us the data set to do that. So we do have the team in place. We are doing that throughout the rest of our system. So I'm fairly confident if we keep it, we would hit that target just because we have that team up and running for the rest of our system. But, you know, it's kind of the will of the body. If we want to do away with that, I would recommend not, since we do have the team and we are implementing that throughout the rest. But I also understand our budget's pretty high. So if the body wants to remove it, I'm okay with that too, but I would recommend not to, just because we do have the team ready to go right now.
So, Mr. Sinclair, do you have a feel for how much it costs per mile to do that drone work? I forget how many miles that would be covering, or is it unspecified?
No, they do have a cost per mile to do this work. I believe it was for the entire length of our section of the line, because all they're doing is drone reconnaissance, so it wouldn't take that long. I mean, $60,000 worth. So whatever the math works out on our section per mile. But it was a little bit more the first time around, but we've been doing this now for over 2 years, so we're getting a little bit better. But again, will of the body, if that's the direction we want to go, we can cut it, but I'd recommend not to.
Okay, thank you. I stand with Golden Valley, Dan Bishop of Golden Valley. I support keeping it in for your recommendation.
Are there any other comments or questions on the operating, which I believe gets us down to that 2.757 million, right? That's what you're covering?
Yes, I have one more quick comment. I'm going to cut our snow load number from 175 to 150 in the spirit of this conversation. And I'm confident we can support that number. It's historically the most we spent is 145. We had that one bet. And we're also have cut back the scope of this work. We're not replacing batteries anymore. We're just waiting for the snow load project itself to replace this. And this will, I do not anticipate the snow load budget to, I don't anticipate this to be an item on the F-28 budget go away entirely. I do think if things go as planned, this will be the last year we pay for this one. If that's correct with my understanding of the snow load project schedule. So anyway, so I'll cut that back to 150 as well, in the spirit of this conversation.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, Mr. Price, that's under 566,
yes,
correct?
Under 566, that's the snow load monitoring contract with EPS to go out and check the line. That's all they do now is go out and do snow patrols. Previously, there was a battery replacement portion of that project or contract. So hearing no other comments on the expenses, we'll move to the administration. Item number one, the AEA administrative costs. Similar to the BPMC, what we've done is, and if there's questions on this, I'll defer to Mark, but we actually ratcheted this up when we went through a recalculation of our indirects. The BPMC went through this as well. This is to get it more in line with what we're actually spending. Historically, we've been under budget on that. The next item is legal expenses. I don't think that should be a surprise to anyone. The actual number shown right now is 213. There's an invoice that didn't get in time for this project, but the overall cost is actually closer to 300. Thus far, as far as actuals for 2026. Anticipating additional legal work, we put in a placeholder for $200,000. We could cut that and cross our fingers. We can put a placeholder in there. I presume if the RCA does what they could do, this number will be very short at $200,000. We don't know what could happen here. We could leave our standard placeholder here for 20 and then just see what happens.
So that's one part of this section. The other section is we are over budget by 200. Traditionally, we have a budget amendment when we have costs go over. Being the point where we are in the budget cycle, I propose we do not do a budget amendment to cover for this overage. Anyway, those are two parts to this particular line item. Any comments, questions, requests?
I'm not sure I understood. Is that just the 200 that's in the proposed budget cover both the proposed future expenses and the existing over a budget amount?
No, what what I'm proposing right now, so let me break it up into two points. There's the we'll talk about this more in the let me defer the existing costs to the budget to actuals discussion. So
okay.
Let me table that. So we're just talking about the FY27 budgetary number of 200,000. That was us just putting a placeholder in for anticipated costs associated with the RTO docket. It's not based on anything other than us sticking our thumb in the air. So why not? We have two courses of actions here. The IMC could spitball a number and put it in as a placeholder, or we could go with the standard 20, reduce the number, and then do a budget amendment at the time it's necessary. AEA has no opinion one way or the other. We're open to the will of the body on this item.
I do have some thoughts, but first I'll defer to the rest of the body to see if you guys have some comments.
One more question, maybe. So the budget actual, it looks like the date is 2/28/26, and that cost was 2/13. So I think what you're saying, Mr. Price, is that there's another 200,000 that came in after February 28th.
No, there's an additional invoice for about 75 that didn't make it to the budget to actuals.
Okay.
So the grand total for FY26 as it sits right now is about 300.
Thank you.
Or 290. That's just to give you an idea of what we've spent this year. That's a separate discussion from this 200 is not in there to cover what we're spending now. We'll discuss that during budget to actuals, how we want to manage the overage.
Understood. Thank you.
My apologies for muddying the discussion.
So any comments on the proposed 27 budget?
Mike Miller, Shugash. Understanding that we've seen increased legal fees in the past fiscal year related to RTO, I respect the thought of having more than the standard $20,000 placeholder. That being said, I guess I would propose to the group that we maybe consider, rather than doing 200,000, doing something more along the lines of like 100,000. And since we don't really know what's in store for us over the next year with regards to legal proceedings related to RTO and the IMC, I think 200,000 is a pretty significant number to put in the budget up front. So I guess my suggestion would be to consider reducing that from 200,000 down to 100,000.
No objection from AEA.
Dan Bishop of Golden Valley. Thanks. I think that's a great suggestion from Mr. Miller with Chuget.
Yeah, and this is John Sinclair. I have no issue with that as well. So it sounds like dropping that line from 200 to 100 for right now, with the understanding and kind of keeping with the theme. If more funds are necessary, we can always come before this body and ask for an amendment to the budget in the future.
Okay.
I did want to jump back to the first item there, which is the 375,000 mm-hmm. proposed, and just kind of a question on that. Looking at actuals to date, 219,000. We have 300,000 in the budget, and I see in previous years, there was expenses that kind of ranged. Are we pretty locked in with that 375 for costs?
If this doesn't answer the question, I'll defer to Mark to give more detail. But from FY25 is when we did the adjustment, when we adjusted the indirects, and that year is when it went to 367, based off of his analysis and his expected escalation costs. 375 is the number he was solid with. We got lots of detail we can give on that number if so desired, but I'll defer to Mark if you have further questions on that number. But yes, I did ask that question and he said that we're pretty locked in on that number.
Yeah, because there's definitely a jump if you look from 24 to 25. So
yes, 24 to 25 is when we did the so 23 and 24. We actually spent more but did not end up charging the IMC because of how we were doing billing. It was lost. We weren't tracking it. We went through a process. He can speak to it in a lot better detail than I can, but it adjusted our indirect rate, and that indirect rate applied across the board. It increased the cost of the BPMC. It increased the cost here. That was reflected in the FY25 budget and going forward. Further questions, we can answer. Just I'm going to defer to Mark if you want more detail.
No, that sounds good, and probably not just to move us along, maybe not right here, but I guess I would request maybe a little more detail, and it can be a write-up. I don't need a presentation right now or anything, but it would be good to get a write-up just to understand that better. Not proposing a change. I just want to – it is a bump,
yeah.
And we are looking to cut, so just –
Mark, we can put together some kind of a bullet point list and distribute that to the IMC.
That'd be great. Thank you. That's all I had on those two lines.
Next, the studies. This is encompassing two studies. One is the Southern Intertie analysis that was prompted by the October event. Two is a budgetary number for an EMT model development by GBA. Zach, is there any comments, questions to those two items? And for a note, those two items would also, we haven't got a firm commitment yet, but it would likely include HEA participation in both of those items. So that's intent comment. I don't think that is firmed. I don't want to speak for HEA at this point. I haven't seen it firmed up yet.
Okay, I do have some comments, but I'll defer to the rest of the body for comments before I go.
Mike Miller, Shugach. We had a lot of conversation about the EMT model, $250,000 in the IOC, and had some follow-ups internally at Shugach on that as well. And I guess similar to what I've said multiple times already today, I would propose removing the $250,000 for the EMT model from the budget for a few different reasons. But I think my suggestion for that would be that we allow the SSS in Golden Valley to release an RFP for that and get something a little bit more tangible as far as a price tag, and then that can be brought back for consideration for whether we wanted to pay for that EMT model or not. I think there's some mixed opinions amongst the participants with regards to the urgency and the value in doing it right now. So I guess that would be my suggestion.
This is Dan Bishop of Golden Valley Electric. I agree with Mr. Miller's proposal.
And this is John Sinclair. Just to clarify, that would drop the 400 to 150.
Mike Miller, yeah, that's correct. That'd be my suggestion, is to reduce the study budget from 400 to 150.
No objection.
And I'm not, okay. Not seeing anyone saying no to that, so tentatively we'll drop that to 150. Again, keeping with the theme of if additional funds are needed in the future, we can come with an amendment. Any other discussion on the studies line item? Seeing none, Mr. Price, if you want to continue.
Private line telephone service previously was under either 566 or 567, and during discussions, this was determined to move down to the administrative portion, as to this is not really an O&M, this is an ongoing contract for services. So it's up to the will of the IMC if it stays where it's located, and I will defer to Golden Valley as to the number and what this contract is.
And Bishop of Golden Valley, thank you, Mr. Price. Appreciate it. I support that, and I think that the intertie participants have worked together to reduce it from the $85,000 to $30,000, which I'm quite pleased about.
Mr. Miller, do you have any comments?
Thank you, Chair. Mike Miller, I don't have any comments.
All right, on to the fun one. The SVC GE Support Services contract. Just for the record, this is a contract that was initiated when a state appropriation funded the rebuild or remodel or upgrade of the SVCs at Teeland, Gold Hills, and Healy. Out of that appropriation, we entered into a warranty services contract with GE. And this is a budgetary number. We can provide actuals very easily, but it's on the order of $500,000 a year, $550,000 a year. That appropriation has been expended. We don't have any, AEA does not have the ability to fund this contract any longer. So it passes to the IMC to fund. When we discussed this previously, this was the intended approach, maintain contract, pass it to the IMC. Now that the number actually hits the budget, it's time to say, is this really what we want to do? And there are mixed reviews as to how well this contract has served the IMC, as how much we want to do with this contract going forward. And so it's kind of an open subject as to what do we really want to do. From a budgetary standpoint, this is the number. From a timing standpoint, the contract is up at the end of the year. So whatever we want to put in for a placeholder, now's the time to put it in as a placeholder. We do have a bit of time to actually make a decision, however. That I will defer to the body.
John Sinclair, just a clarifying question, you said end of year. I'm assuming that means
end of calendar year.
Okay, thank you.
So December.
Got it.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, I have some thoughts, but again, I'll defer and if there's comments from the rest of the body on this.
Dan Bishop with Golden Valley. One suggestion I had that maybe Mr. Price or others could weigh in on is that rather than a 24/7 a response, we could ask for limited hours telephone support, and I don't know if that would make a difference in the price or not. But that came from our engineering manager, Mike Wise.
As far as we can change this contract, if we want to renew it, that's the price. If we want to renegotiate it to change the terms, change the services, that's wide open. It's not an all or nothing approach. I'm not the best guy to discuss the intimate details of the contract itself, but that is one option, obviously, is to renegotiate for a different contract. Or entirely just let the contract go, and we're going to go a different way, but I'm going to defer to you guys on that subject. The only request AEA is going to make is we need to have a plan for how we're going to support these devices. And we need to all like that plan, and then AEA is on board.
Mike Miller, Chicago Electric. We had a fair amount of conversation about this line in the IOC, actually. And I think there was general support for looking to reevaluate kind of the terms, renegotiate, right size the support for what the maintenance personnel for the respective utilities feel is necessary. I was fairly surprised to see such a large dollar amount for support for the SVCs for the Northern Tie, just understanding that for the Southern Tie with Hitachi, it's my understanding is it's not $500,000. And that being said, the level of support or the service being provided for that is more so just the ability to call them with support questions rather than some of the items that are built into this contract. Related to site visits and inspections and things like that. So I guess my suggestion for the group would be to request the AEA and the appropriate, maintenance leadership for the utilities that work on the SVCs to work together to renegotiate a new support contract that's deemed appropriate and establish what that cost would look like, and at that time bring it to the IMC for approval rather than including the $500,000 that's in here currently. I don't sense there's much appetite for many of the participants to continue on with the $500,000 contract as is, especially considering that a lot of the feedback we received was that the level of service that was being provided was not commensurate to the cost.
John Sinclair, some thoughts on that. I also was concerned by the report at the IOC on what we're getting for the $550,000. So I would agree with Mr. Miller that perhaps we assign this maybe to the IOC to delegate to the appropriate subcommittee to take a look at this contract and see if we can renegotiate something that might be a little more in line with what we're getting, and maybe keep a placeholder of $50,000 or something just so we have that and we can amend that budget line when we get the actual amount, understanding that we need something ideally before the end of the year that's in place, so there will be a timeline on it, but it just doesn't sound like we're getting a lot of value for the money spent, and that was a concern raised at the IOC, so If that sounds good to the body.
No objections. Just for the record, it's not exclusively tech support. There's a certain amount of spare parts that comes with this, and a certain amount of, there's a service where they come out and do maintenance. I'm just saying this to get it on the record that it's not exclusively tech support for $500,000 a year. That would look bad to somebody reading. That said, I wholly support this. This contract has been just us trying to facilitate on our end. It has been a less than stellar contract looking in from the outside. So 100% support that. Any other comments on the GE contract?
And just to clarify, John Sinclair, just to clarify, that would drop then that one to $50,000 for right now.
This is Dan Bishop. I'd like to propose maybe $100,000 or something a bit more than that.
I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
$100,000. All right, Mr. Price, continue.
Next, we have the SVC PSSE and EMT model development. I'll defer to Golden Valley if this is inadequate explanation, but the PSSE model for the SVCs is inadequate and almost useless. There isn't a PSCAD model. What is currently in motion is to get an RFP to produce a PSSE and a EMT model. At that time, we'll decide are we going to do both or just the one we absolutely need. This is a placeholder number for that effort.
Thank you, Mr. Price. This is Dan Bishop of Golden Valley. I think you described it well, and I support that number.
Any other comments?
Mike Miller, I fully support anything we can do to make our PSSE model more accurate, so I don't necessarily have any objections, just understanding that when there are bids returned, they'll be separated between the PSSE and the EMT items so that they can be weighed and considered separately. That'd be my only request.
Yeah, the trend is to get a number for both and just a budgetary number for the EMT number, and if the number's reasonable, do it. It's kind of the trend, but more than likely it won't happen, and we'll, I don't know, we'll, much more discussion later, and this is just a placeholder number for that anyway. PSSE maintenance in and of itself. For the record, AEA and the utilities have started a contract with PSSE before Siemens took it over back in 1990, something like that. And it was a perpetual license agreement where we would use their product and they would give us a very good deal for something on the order of 18 seats and multiple users. And we've had that license since that time. The budgetary number for a single seat is on the order of $50,000 a year. And so we're basically getting 18 seats for the price of half of one. So it's been a really, really good deal for the rail belt for a long time. Siemens has not made a formal, we are not going to main. So going forward, Siemens is indicating they want us to change the deal. They're hinting that they're either going to dramatically increase the cost of our existing contract, or they may not even renew that contract. And so they're bringing us an offer right now, which is $85,000 for a 5-year contract that would escalate by 5% every year. So at the end, it's something of $105,000 a year. That would give us 10 network seats, which is an improvement over what we currently have. That would be shared by 6 entities, and they can be bounced around. So Chugach could use 10 seats if the exact agreement as to how we would use those licenses, who would have how many and this and that is yet to be determined, but the number would be 10 that would be shared by the rail belt, by 6 rail belt entities. Those would not need to reside on any server, so AEA would not be maintaining any sort of a server, nor would any of the utilities. Those license numbers would reside in the ether unless claimed, and so we would need to agree on some sort of a method by sharing numbers, and that's not something we can't do. So that's the proposal that's come forward from Siemens. And so our choice is, do we roll the dice that Siemens isn't going to just cancel it? And the escalation of the 27,000 would probably be a 5% increase. So if they renew it for another year, it's significantly cheaper. However, there is they may not renew, and then we are in a much worse negotiating position. So the choice before, and for the timeline on this choice, we have a 30 to 90 day time frame. 30 to 90 is they told us 30 for sure on the pricing, and they've hinted that they could give us another 60, but not formally said they would give us 60. So we have at least 30 days to make a decision on the budgetary number. The contract is up in September. So with that, any questions?
Mike Miller, I'll just make one comment, and that is that Chugach did investigate the cost to obtain licenses just individually as a single utility, and the difference in cost is substantial. And that it would, I think, if we don't reach an agreement as a group for a shared contract, we individually would be paying significantly more. So I'll just throw that out there.
Thank you. Mr. Bishop, any comments or thoughts?
Thank you for describing the situation well, and I support the budget amount as proposed.
Thank you, John Sinclair. I also support it. PSSE is definitely critical to what we do, and I would agree with what Mr. Miller said, that going in alone would be more expensive than the option in front of us, so I support it. And I think we can move on.
Last budget item has been approved from previous years. It's underway right now. It's the EPRI service that's being used by the SSS. It's fairly not. So with that, the rest of the budget is fairly expected. We've got the grants are listed here. Could we
talk about the EPRI?
Yes, please. I did not offer an opportunity to discuss. Carry on, sir.
Yeah, thanks. I was just wondering. I think it might be appropriate to discuss what the EPRI is providing for us for the $40,000, and if we think it's worth continuing with, and interested in hearing what the other members of the IMC and AEA think about that.
I'm not the best person to give all the details on it. In general, what we have is a license agreement to use the software Dynador, I think is how it's pronounced. It's a research tool that EPRI is providing. They just gained access to it in January, and they're just starting to use it now. So so the budgetary year for EPRI goes on the calendar year. So this year is our inaugural year with this tool and learning what we can do with it. That money has been spent. So this 40 for next year would be spent in January 2027 for conversation. As to whether or not the tool is worth the money, I will defer that to the utilities.
Mike Miller, Shugach. My understanding is that there's a lot of opportunity to utilize this to do technical research and things like that. I think a lot of the technical staff or the participants have had interest in, and I think it's hard for us to determine value at this point, understanding that they just now are gaining access to that. So I personally am in favor of having the $40,000 in there, and perhaps staff and the IMC can discuss the value added sometime around January when we're having to renew. And if it's deemed at that time that it's not valuable, then I think we can act appropriately.
Yeah, and this is John Sinclair. I agree. We've just gotten access. There are some studies, white papers available in addition to the software. I'd like the opportunity for our teams to utilize the resource and see what their thoughts are. I don't have a problem keeping it in just because it's new, and I'd like to have the opportunity to utilize it or not if it's not useful, and maybe revisit it next budget cycle or in January. But that's my thoughts.
Thank you both much. This is Dan Bishop, and appreciate it. Sounds like a good explanation why it makes sense to keep it, so I agree with that.
Page 6 shows the grants. They do not flow through the IMC budget. This is just for public disclosure of what we're working on. Any comments, questions on the grants? The grants being the snow load mitigation and the synchrophasia project.
I don't see anything.
Page 7 is our energy projection sheet. Page 6 is the Metcalfe calculation. Any comments, questions on those?
I am not seeing any. So we have some modifications to the budget, it sounds like, and I am curious, can we move forward with approval as modified, or do we need to take a different action?
No, I believe we can just propose a motion to make these changes and post with the changes, and I can do the motion and list the changes.
All right. Well, then I will open it up for a motion.
Mr. Chair, this is Bill Price. I move that we...
I'm just going to interject here. You already have a motion on the floor, so we just need to amend.
Yes, you're right. Mr. Chair, I move to amend the budget with the following changes.
And under FERC 566, we reduced the $175,000 to $150,000. Under FERC 570, we will reduce the breaker 538 replacement from $350,000 to $250,000. Under FERC 571, the northern road right-of-way clearing and remote sensing analysis will be zeroed out pending a budget amendment later in the year. Under administrative costs, the IMC administrative costs for meetings and legal will be reduced from $200,000 to $100,000. The FERC 566 studies budget will be reduced from $400,000 to $150,000. And the SVC support services contract will be cut to $50,000 pending a contract negotiation later in the year.
This is Dan Bishop with Gold Valley. I think we may have agreed to $100,000 for the support services contract.
Yes, I read the wrong chicken scratch. $100,000.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, with that clarification, we have a motion for an amendment. Do I have a second?
Becca Miller, if you got a second.
All right, I believe we have to do a roll call vote, first on the amendment and then on the budget.
Correct. Okay, so the amendment, let's go Alaska Energy Authority.
Bill Price, yes.
Chugach Electric Association.
Mike Miller, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Dan Bishop, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association.
John Sinclair, yes.
Motion to amend the budget. Carries, Chair.
All right, thank you. Now I will ask for a motion for approval of the amended budget.
Or we just go straight to the vote, don't we?
Oh, because we've already had the motion. You're correct. So can we get a vote?
Yes. Alaska Energy Authority.
Bill Price, yes.
Chugach Electric Association.
Mike Miller, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Dan Bishop, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association.
John Sinclair, yes.
The motion to post the budget as amended carries, Chair.
Thank you. Okay. We are done with new business, and we have about 8 minutes left, so I'm hoping we can get through these reports fairly quickly. So I'll jump right to item 9A, which is the budget status rules.
Good morning. I'm Mark Ziesmer from AEA, here to present the intertie budget to actual results as of February 28th, 2026. We'll start with revenues on page 2. We're coming in a bit under budget for total revenues by about $24,000. Utility revenue is under budget by roughly $71,000, mainly because energy usage was lower than expected. If you could turn to page 4 of the report, there's a summary of the year-to-date usage. So far, we're at about 60,500 megawatt hours compared to the budgeted 62,800 megawatt hours. Let's go ahead and go back to page 2. We've also recognized about 44,700 in interest income so far this fiscal year, which helps offset part of the revenue shortfall. Moving down to the expense side, we're tracking overall well below budget. Operating expenses are about $1.3 million under plan, mostly due to timing of several categories have seen limited or no activity to date. A few items to highlight. Under FERC, $57,000, Douglas Substation Communications. This category is about $61,000 over. A budget amendment was approved to cover this overage, and it's effective in March, and future reports will reflect the updated budget amount. FERC 57,000 Douglas Substation, the foundation improvements have resulted in an additional overage of about $119,000. The same budget amendment will provide additional funding to cover this overage as well. Under FERC 58306, IMC costs, it's about $200,000 over budget, and this is primarily due to the legal work related to the Rail Belt Transmission Organization, or RTO, efforts in response to RCA orders. I'm also aware of an additional approximately $75,000 in legal expenses that will be charged in future periods for this line. Administrative expenses are about $17,000 over budget, and this is mainly due to higher internal labor and indirect costs, partly associated with the regulatory support work, as mentioned earlier. Overall, the combined impact of revenues and expenses results in a current estimated surplus of approximately $1.7 million. That concludes my report, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Go ahead, Mr.
Just Price. Just a brief note for the record. We acknowledge that we have an overage, and per tradition, per our standard practice is when we're over by about $100,000, we will do a budget amendment. However, being such late in the year, not having any objections to the budget, we're going to defer that, or we're going to request to defer, unless there's any objections by the body to perform a specific budget amendment.
Mike Miller, if you guys don't have any objections to that.
Dan Bishop of Golden Valley, no objection.
John Sinclair, no objection. Any other comments? All right. Well, thank you, Mark, and we'll move right along to the IOC report.
All right, Mike Miller, Shugesh Electric, here to deliver the IOC report. Much of the time spent in the last meeting was over budget, but we did have some conversations about a few other items to highlight. In the interest of time, we'll just mention that we did talk about the Railway EMT model and the RFP associated with that. But the big item for conversation that I want to share is with regards to the PSSE model and request to share it. Several of the participants, as well as AEA, have been approached by third parties requesting that we share the Rail Belt model with them for undefined analysis that I have assumed, I think some others were assuming as well, as related to maybe IPP developments. There was some healthy debate with regards to whether it's appropriate to share the model, and if so, how that should be handled from a data protection standpoint. But I would just ask the group, and maybe this is something that's more for the next IMC meeting when the regular participants are present, but the IOC, and I think the participants in AEA in general, would like some guidance or some understanding with regards to model sharing and how to direct these third parties with regards to their requests. And other than that, I don't have anything of note that I wish to discuss. So open any comments or questions.
I have some thoughts, but I'll defer to the body first. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, John Sinclair, I think we should probably bring this up at the next IMC when maybe even an executive session to discuss the PSSE model and how we handle it going forward. I don't know if there's anything critical right now that we'd have to make a decision, but I think it is important and that we do discuss it, but maybe keep that for an agenda item for next time and maybe even an executive session for that. That's kind of my thoughts. Oh, Mr. Green.
Jonathan Green, just a clarification question as I'm getting up to speed on IMC generally. Who all pay for the PSSE model and who all have data in it? Is it just IMC or are there other Rail Belt members?
Mike Miller, Shugesh Electric. So the Rail Belt model, it includes data and contributions from each of the utilities that are members of the IMC as well as HEA, who is not. As far as cost, I think that's the cost is more tied to the licenses from a financial standpoint, and then the rest of it is typically just labor provided by the participants to maintain the model. Does that answer your question?
Dan Bishop of Goldbeck, I maybe would add that a lot of model maintenance has been done by consultants who are paid by the IMC.
Thank you, Dan.
Any other questions for Mr. Miller? All right, hearing none, we can jump to the operating report.
Dan Bishop of Golden Valley, I support the idea of having deferring the decision and bringing it to putting on the agenda for a future IMC meeting. But also, if there is an urgent need to do something sooner, I would be in support of having a special meeting to consider it. I don't anticipate that would be needed, but it seems like I just wanted to make sure that that was that we would be open to see if the other IMC members would be open to considering that.
Yeah. Mike Miller, Shigech. That I don't think there's any urgency per se, other than just providing response to the third party that's been requesting it from all of us. And I think it's fair for those who have received those requests just respond saying that it's being considered and that it's going to take a month or two to provide any firm response for them. And I'll also commit to following up with the IMC members to make sure that this is a topic that can be included in the agenda for the next meeting.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to the operating report.
Mike Miller, Shugash Electric, here for the operator report. As Mr. Ziesmer already discussed, tie usage is down. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, and it's something I mention every meeting when I do the operator report, so I won't dwell on that. There were no trips of the Alaska Intertie that I found in my research for the months of March or April, and there were three reliability events that took place prior to me producing the report. There was one that happened recently that I was not able to capture in the report just due to needing to get the paperwork in for you all in a timely fashion. So that one's not included here, but will be on the next report. With that, I'll take any comments or questions on the operator report.
I am not seeing any, so I think you're off the hook.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll move down to item 10, member comments.
Bill Price, I appreciate you guys' patience working through the budget and all the efforts you guys do to keep the system working. Thank you.
Mike Miller, Shugash Electric. I'll just express my appreciation for the opportunity to participate in a different way in this meeting with you all. And thank you for the healthy conversation and the commitment to put forward a budget that is responsible and takes into account some of the utilities' concerns with regards to cost. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Bishop?
Yes, I definitely appreciate the in-depth analysis and discussions that the IOC and the subcommittees have had on the budget and the resource allocation choices that they've recommended and explored. That's very helpful, and also thanks to Mr. Miller, Mr. Sinclair for filling in at this meeting, and I think that was helpful on having your perspectives and familiarity with the detailed conversations that were had in regards to the items on the budget. And then, of course, as always, I appreciate the efforts of AEA and their staff, including the accounting staff, to help us keep track of everything that's happening and understand how our funds are being used.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop, and I share everyone's comments. This is John Sinclair getting through the budget. And I know it took a little bit, but appreciate everybody hanging on with us and getting through that and getting a motion on the floor to move that forward. So thank you to everyone. With that, I'll jump to item 11, which is next meeting, noted as June 26th. Unless there's any comments on item 11, I will go to item 12 and adjournment and call for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Dan Bishop.
Mike Miller, second.
And we will need a roll call vote.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Dan Bishop, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
John Sinclair, yes.
The motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.